Darkwraith Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 4 for Autumn Semester 2014. Lecture 23, delivered on November 12, 2014. The title of this lecture is Cash Management.
Today, cash management. This is your last lecture of the season. We've laughed together, we've cried together, we've loved together, in fact. And now we end our rainbow on this note. And I promise you, this is actually quite short. And interestingly, I rarely get to this point, this chapter, and it's actually a relatively simple thing. And it's good for a quick question in multiple choice on an exam. Hint, hint. And on a last quiz. You'll have a quiz for the weekend, just a review of material and what we've done since the last quiz. But the deal is this. If you're a retail business or a business that takes money in, you've got money that is going to just sit there in a cash drawer or in the bank possibly. And the question is, what do you do with it? You could just keep it there, and maybe after hours you put it all on a floor and you kind of roll around in it. That'd be kind of fun. But you could also invest that money. The problem with investing it, of course, is that then you don't have it right away and you'll have to pull it back out of the investments. And each leg on that journey is going to have a little bit of a transactions cost on it. So there's this kind of question. What do I do with cash? What to do with cash? And the answer actually is kind of moving. It's a moving kind of thing. Because it will depend on three things. What really short-term investments are available? I mean, you know, short term, you can do those sweeps that I mentioned earlier in the course. You can throw the money into some commercial paper. That's something that's out there too. And there are other really short term things you can do with cash. Remember, you want this cash available to you, but you got to ask yourself, what can I get to? What markets, money markets, are available? Can I throw it into like a money market fund? Is that going to be a good place to put it? The other, what is my best rate of return on the different, looking at all these short-term investments? That's going to be one of the drivers of the question that you have. And finally, the third question is, well, what's my transactions cost? If I actually start putting money in quick investments and pulling it out, I'm going to pay a fee. What is the transactions cost for doing that? In and out. Now, usually these are the same, going in and coming out of these super short-term investments. But if you just leave the money if you just leave the money in the cash drawer, then first of all, there's a security aspect, and it's not earning you anything. So we have to say, and there's a fourth one. What are my high and low triggers? In other words, When I've built up so much money that's doing nothing, I want to put it into something that's an investment. What's my high trigger? When have I got too much money and I don't want that much money? And then, also, if my money that I have right now in my hands goes below a certain point, I want to be able to get money out of these investments back into my cash drawers. So my high and low triggers, I'm going to need to know those. And so all of these lead to what's called your target cash level. Where's my target? And it's actually a formula. And I'm not sure if the book says this clearly. There are a couple of different formulas out there for finding the target cash level. The one that the book goes through is Miller-Orr, which is actually the one that is the most popular, even to this day. This was developed in the 1960s, but in computer programs, even to this day, a lot of companies still use this formula for getting the answer to the target cash level, the amount of money that you want to have in the center, and then the upper bound and the lower bound are below that. So in other words, what we're really looking at is if we have a timeline and we have money here, you've got an upper bound. I can't remember what the book designates that upper bound as. Oh, I can't remember. Darn it. I can't remember what they call it, what the book writes it as. But it's U, I'm going to write it as UB, but make sure that if you look at the formula in the book, you know what theirs is, what they designate this upper bound. And then there is a lower bound, and we'll call that L. And somewhere here in the middle, not necessarily in the middle, but it's somewhere in here is the thing that we want. We want to know our target cash level. This is the ideal place. And the designation for this, the classic designation for this is Z. So in other words, as time goes on in your company, your money is going to, the cash in the drawer from day to day, your daily cash amount is going to be fluctuating like this. Here, we've gone above our upper bound. We should put some of this money in an investment. And then you clip that off and you're going back around, bouncing. Oh, we went below our lower bound. Now we've got to pull money out of those short-term investments and get it back into our cash drawer. So, in other words, we are trying to focus on this target cash level, and then we have our triggers on the top and the bottom. And, okay, we hit this upper bound. We've gone above it today. We had a lot of cash come in. Okay, so now we're going to scoop that extra cash out and put it into investments. And then you kind of flop around, and then, we really have spent a lot of cash money. We didn't have a lot of cash come in. We got a lot of cash went out today. Okay, we're going to have to cash in some of those things, the money market or a commercial paper thing. We're going to have to pull some of that back into the cash drawer now. So this formula gives us the target. We have set our upper and lower bounds, and from there, it's just sort of like, okay, just follow the rule. And have a computer program. A lot of companies have some kind of in their overall management computer management system, they have a running knowledge of how much cash is available. And so when you hit one of these, the computer will send some kind of a signal to the cash manager. In a few cases, it actually does it automatically. Once it hits the upper bound, say, it just automatically moves that money into a money market account or into a CD or into a commercial paper. And if it goes down below it, the system actually just simply says a trigger and just does a buyback, gets rid of the investment and gets the cash back into the company's account again, cash account again. So in some companies, they say, we're not going to do it that automatically. We need to have someone see what's happening. In other companies, they just let a computer do this nowadays, and they don't even have keep an eye on it from day to day. Here's the formula. It's just a formula. And it's a weird formula. This is a formula for your target. Z equals the cube root. I wish I could explain to you that, but I'm not going to. 3 times your transactions cost plus the variance of your cash, daily variance of your cash. So in other words, you just look at your data, get the variance of it, the mean and the variance, and all of that is over 4 times R, your daily best investment rate of return. And then all of that plus the lower bound. That's your target cash level. And I'm going to write these here. TC, that's your transactions cost. In other words, how much does it cost for you to go into and out of short-term investments? There's going to be a cost. It's probably not going to be a huge thing, but there's going to be a cost to go in and out. V is your daily variance in cash. In other words, how much does your cash vary from day to day in the drawers? And I'm going to give you an example, trust me. R is your daily rate of return on short-term investments. How much can you make putting money into investments, your cash into investments? And then L is that lower bound. Now remember, the lower bound is actually more important than the upper bound. What happens if your cash falls below your lower bound? What could happen?
You have no cash on hand?
Yeah, that really sucks. What happens when you have no cash in your pocket? You can't buy NOMS. You can't do anything like that. You get those opportunities to buy quality Rolex watches on Main Street, and you can't buy one. You don't have any cash to pay the guy named Lonnie. Okay? That's more important than the upper bound. Well, if you go above the upper bound, well, you got a lot of cash. But if you violate that lower bound, that's the one that makes your back leg thump in a company. We don't have enough cash in the drawer to make it through the first hour of business today. That's not good at all. Okay, so your target cash level. Let me just give you a problem. I'm just going to give you one. I actually pulled this out of the case was a big case, and I pulled got these numbers out of a case of an actual company, and I calculated it once, and I thought, is that right? And it wasn't. The one thing you have to be careful about is doing this formula. If you make a little mistake, your answer is just wrong, and you have no idea whether it's wrong or not. The one thing that you should remember is on your calculator, to do a cube root, probably the best way to do it is to just take this quantity to the 1/3 power. That's probably the best way to do a cube root on a calculator. So let's take the actual example that I pulled out. The transactions cost for putting money into and pulling money out of in short-term investments is $10 per transaction. That's not terribly unrealistic. Sometimes you can, some you can find like $5. There are some who offer lots of extra services and stuff like that. It might be as much as $40, $50 in some cases. Or it might depend upon how much you're pulling in and taking out. But $10 isn't a bad place to start for one of these. Now, let's say that you have looked at a year's cash, daily cash balances. And over that year, you added them up or you put them into Excel. You got your standard deviation. And your standard deviation on a daily basis, about 67% of the time, you are at, you're fluctuating about $200. In other words, on a daily basis, overall, it pops around about $200, about two-thirds of the time. Okay, now that's putting it more into business realistic terms. We wouldn't say the variance is. We would talk about standard deviation because that tells us some information anyway. On a daily basis, our cash in the drawer kind of moves up and down of about $200 most days. That's what how you interpret a standard deviation. Now remember, the formula actually uses a variance, not standard deviation. But in real business terms, I would be probably asking about standard deviation. But now to turn that into a variance, you would square it, so you would get 40,000. So remember, it's the variance that matters for the formula. In real life, it's the standard deviation that would probably matter more to your, you know, just what you wanted to know about it. And let's be completely unrealistic here. Let's say that your annual rate of return on investments, short-term investments, is 6.9%. That's a ridiculously high amount. But remember, the formula is calling for daily. So if I give you an annual, and I'm going to write here so that you don't think these are the same R. So if I've given you the annual amount you can earn on short-term investments, what do you have to do to it to make it to usable in the formula? He said divided by 365. That is modern. Old-fashioned divided by 360. Just old-fashioned, and humor me, old-fashioned. It's actually going to, it's going to matter a little bit to your answer. But we still, traditionally, we're still using that 360, at least if you are of good breeding and proper deportment in your affairs of business and all of that. We may live among savages, but we can be civilized ourselves. Let me set a lower limit. Let's say that the lower limit, where we get all kinds of excited if we don't have money in the drawer, is $2,000. In other words, I am going to be yelling, get some of that money out of those CDs, money markets, commercial paper. If I get below $2,000, I'm going to start bitching, okay? So now the question is, what's my target cash level in the drawer? What's my target cash level in the drawer? So now we can do the formula. Just try to do it. I'm going to write, I'm just going to write it out here and see if you can get the right number. And it's just purely key in the strokes right, because it's just a formula you can put on your formula card. 3 times $10 times the variance, 40,000, divided by 4 times 0.069 over 360, and then the cube root of that. Did I? Sweet mother of Jesus. That's why they don't hire me as a consultant. I really, really, that's a times. Boy, that would have made the formula really blow up. God, plus 2,000. In other words, that plus 2,000 pushes us back up. Go ahead. See if you can get the target on your calculator. Matter of fact, let me try it. And remember, it's better if you just do this whole thing to the one-third power. But that's up to you. If you have a calculator that can do it, three times 10 times 40,000, close parentheses, divided by 4 times 0.069 divided by 360, close parentheses, to the 3 equals plus 2,000 equals 1. So what do you get? What say you? You got it? What is cluing you that it's wrong? Well, that would probably be wrong. Did you remember to add the L back in?
Nope.
Oh, that's insensitive. So what'd you get? Okay, anyone want to call out a number that we can say, well, that's so damn dumb? No. Say it.
2,054.05.
Anyone else? There you go. $3,161? Don't do the 70 cents, for heaven's sakes. Someone hit him. It's about $3,162. Rounded. Now, you're not going to worry about pennies on this, but what you should get is approximately, and do this just to the dollars, $3,162. That's your target cash level. So in other words, now we can actually put some numbers into this little abstract chart or graph that I gave here. We're going to go on the upper. What did I say the upper was on this? Did I even give the upper? Probably not. But it actually really doesn't matter too much. We can set the upper as whatever we want. $3,162. The lower is $2,000. And in this case, the upper actually turns out to be, for this company, was $8,000. There you go. So now we are going to target in our cash drawer on an average day, which we may never actually see the average day, but our target is to hang $3,162 in the cash drawer, or wherever, in just a bank account that pays nothing. But then we will trigger a sweeping some of that money into investments at $8,000. If we go above that in the cash drawer, we'll sweep out some of it. And if we go below $2,000, we will trigger to sell off some of those or to cash some of those investments in and get that money back into the cash drawer. But on average, on a typical day, we would want to see $3,162 in the cash drawer. And again, we might never actually see that. That's our target. And we will swing on a daily basis around that target. But if we swing too far to the north, then we're just going to clean out some of that money and put it in investments. But if we swing too hard to the south, we're going to get those investments back into cash and get it back into the drawer. That's cash management. And again, this formula that I gave you right here, this is only one. I've seen three different ones. This one is the one that is by far still to this day the one that is the most popular, although these New Age formulas are supposedly a lot better at cash management, but they're really a lot more complicated. However, that's cash management. You're going to get a question like that in part one of exam two. You'll probably have one of those in part one of the final exam. It's just a calculation. Just make sure you know how to do it. There are some, by the way, at the end of the text chapter on cash management, they give you a couple more of these problems just so that you know how to do, just so you're sure you can do it on your calculator. You got it down? Okay, that's all I have for you. Thank you.